Why we don't get fascinated with them? Why this doesn't, you know, really make us want to go ahead and do it? Today, unfortunately, what we are exposed to, we expose our children to, you know, PSP, PS2, PS3, even the day of Eid, this is the gifts we give them. While if you look at Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they say that teach your children swimming, teach your children horse riding, teach your children archery. These are things that will benefit them and really bring out their true skill. These are things that will really nurture them and will be good for them. But have we exposed ourselves to this? This is our deen and this is our Islam. And this is the beauty in it. We are different. We have our own way of life. We have our own conduct. We should value it and realize its value. And appreciate it and be proud that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this deen of Islam. Wallah, this is a great gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we move on, coming back to the khutbah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then if we look at this month of Ramadan, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the various bounties of the day of Eid and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises the believers. Now if any of us are wondering really how we should have ever spent this month of Ramadan, which is already finished and has already gone past us, we just have the few hours left. If we really want to know and have an idea how we're supposed to spend this month, then that too we look at the world and we will take an example of our worldly life. You see, many of us are familiar with the Comrades Marathon that takes place every year in this town and in Durban. We all know about it, we all are very familiar with it. Now if you have to take this race in itself, every single person who takes part in this race, not one of them I think comes on the day of the race and says that today I'm going to run. He never ran in his life, never walked in his life, but he comes over there on the day of the race and he says that today I'm going to run 87 or 88 kilometers. Not one of them do this. If you take every individual on a personal level, then this person is known as a runner. Running is part of his life. He loves to run. Every day of his life, he will take out some time and he'll run. Whether it be 2 kilometers, whether it be 1 kilometer, but he has his own way of life. Every day he must run. This is his habit. This is part of his life. That's why he comes to this race. So we as Muslims, that salah had to be part of our life before the month of Ramadan. Every day we're supposed to be namazis. So that when we come to the month of Ramadan, we can give up our best. We can be there and we can really fulfill its haq and its right. Then if you take every one of these runners, then they do not eat like the way me and you eat. They even watch their diet, they watch what they eat, they watch what they consume. Why? Because it can have an ill effect on their health, especially when it comes to the day of this race. So similarly, we as Muslims, the diet of sins had to be there long before. So when you come to the month of Ramadan, it is easy to stay away. Not now when you come to the month of Ramadan, you don't know what to do, you feel it so hard. You know, unfortunately, we all know very well that Shaitan has been chained up in the month of Ramadan. And we know that after the month of Ramadan, he will be unchained. But sometimes we act as if we were chained up. That now when the day of Eid comes, all the shackles are out of us. Now we can do as we please again. And sometimes in the month of Ramadan itself, that's the time we're planning our sins. That, you know, I can't go to the movies now, I can't do this now. We'll see after Ramadan. As soon as the month is over, then now we act like we have been unchained, we have been set free. We can go back to exactly the way we were. But this was not supposed to be the ideal way. This was not how it's supposed to be. Going back to that race, you know, if you look at the people coming to the end, we are at the end of the month of Ramadan. When those people start reaching the end, you know, if you look at it itself, people are prepared to give their lives just for one race. Just to run. People die in that race. Look at that enthusiasm. You know, to them that race is everything. Just for that, you know, that sense of achievement, I accomplished the race. Where's that spirit for the month of Ramadan? You know, if you have to look at what how Sahaba described Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَجْتَهِدُ فِي رَمَضَانَ مَا لَا يَجْتَهِدُ فِي غَيْرِهِ. Sahaba say, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to strive in this blessed month much more than what he strived in other months. Now, I ask every one of us sitting here, let us look at the life of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let us study every day in his life, and see which day wasn't a sacrifice. Which day was rest and comfort that your Sahaba are saying that he strives so much in the month of Ramadan, much more than what he used to strive in other months. But which day of his was a day of relax and a day of peace and a day of basically not striving. Yet when it came to this month, he gave off much more. And then the last 10 days, وَفِي الْعَشْرِ الْأَوَاخِرِ مَا لَا يَجْتَهِدُ فِي غَيْرِهِ. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would double the efforts, triple it actually. Much more in the last 10 days than in the first 20 days. This was the attitude of our beloved Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in regards to this month of Ramadan. Coming back to that race, you see people when they come to the end, they are finished. Every last bit of energy in their body, they are prepared to give it up. They will run right till they reach that finish line. And what happens when they reach that finish line? They fall down. They are finished, they are tired now. And when they fall down, then you see people running with a towel, running to pick them up and lift them up and put that medal on their head that, you know what, you all have succeeded. You all have passed this race. You all have achieved your goal. This is how we're supposed to treat this blessed month of Ramadan. We're supposed to finish ourselves. We're supposed to give off everything, give off our best possible, use every bit of energy within us to gain what? The maghfirat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not one simple gold medal that, you know, the next day you're in the paper, you came out first, and after that, for the rest of the year, no one bothers about you. And some people, they even come out last. Some people, you know, they no recognition for them whatsoever. They fall down halfway, their family comes and picks them up, they go back home. No reward whatsoever. Nothing but tiredness. For the next 1 week, the same people, they can't get up from the bed. This is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised for us. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising, you know, listen to this hadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrates to us that baha bihimul malaika, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Eid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala boasts and takes a sense of pride with the malaika. And Allah poses a question to them, that abidi wa amai, qadu fadira, no, ma jaza'u ajirin waffa amalu. That, oh my malaika, oh my angels, what is the reward of that person who fulfilled his job and did his job? He fulfilled what he's supposed to do. What is his reward? What is due to him? Then the malaika replied that, oh Allah, his reward is that he should be given his full pay. We know we are businessmen. We employ people. Some of us are employees. If a man does, you employ someone to work for the whole month and this person does not work, will you pay him? If he pitches up to work and he sits there and does nothing, will we pay him? On the other hand, if you employ someone and the person really, you know, he takes his job seriously and he does everything that he's supposed to do, then with a smile you will pay him his money. Sometimes you might even give him a bonus. So yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala poses this question that what is the reward for this people? And then the malaika say that, oh Allah, his reward is that he should be given his due. And then look at what love and what muhabbat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about us to the malaika. Abidi wa amai, my slaves, you know, these are my bondsmen, my slaves. This word abd, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to speak about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and about mi'raj, a great thing like mi'raj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used this word abd for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah, the same word is being used for each and every one of us. Ibadi, my slaves. Qadhu faridati alayhim. They have fulfilled this faraz that I have made upon them. They have fasted in this month of Ramadan. They tried their best. They gave off everything that they could for my sake. ثُمَّ خَرَجُوا يُعَجُّونَ إِلَى الدُّعَى. Now they have come out to that Eidgah and they are earnestly beseeching and they are making dua to me. They want something in return. وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَائِي. Look at the customs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes. By my izzat, by my nobility, by my honor, by my highness. So many words Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use. That لَأُجِيبَنَّهُمْ. I will definitely answer these people and I will be there for them because they fulfilled what they're supposed to do. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that قُومُوا مَغْفُورًا لَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that all of you stand up in a condition that Allah has forgiven you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you maghfirah. وَبَدَّلْتُ سَيَّاتِكُمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. Not only that, as I told you, a bonus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I have changed your evil deeds into good deeds. Not only given you maghfirat, but also your bad deeds, Allah changes it into good deeds. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these people will stand up, maghfura lahum, fayarji'una maghfura lahum. They will move away from this Eidgah in a condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven them. So this is a great ihsan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. What a great ihsan, what a great favor. And then if you look back at Quran, hal jaza'u lihsani illa lihsan. What is the reward for this kindness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us? That we return the favor. And how do we return the favor? Mal ihsan. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained this word. An ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tara. That from now after this day of Eid, you will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you see Him. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. And if you cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then remember Allah is watching you. Allah's gaze is upon us all the time. Whether we take note of it or we don't take note of it, His gaze is upon us at every second of the day. And then we look at another ayah of the Holy Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses us and says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَلَا تُبْطِلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ. O you who believe, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa ati ar-rasul, follow the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, follow the way of life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be obedient to his teachings, wa la tubtilu a'malakum, but don't spoil your actions and don't destroy your deeds. Don't cancel out and don't invalidate your deeds. This is what Quran is telling us. Sahaba say that before this verse was revealed, we were under the impression that every deed we did, every good thing we did in this world, it was accepted and it was protected.